Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
Okay, Deb, it's so good to have you back. We enjoyed your lesson about fearless and falling on your sword and all those lessons you shared with us on our last podcast. So how are you doing today, by the way?
I am wonderful today. It's another beautiful day here on Amelia Island in Florida, and just happy to be here with you.
Well, thanks for reminding us of where you are so we can be jealous again. But I can see outside, it really looks like a sunny, beautiful day there. So before we begin hearing about your next small-time leader, would you share with us something else you're thankful for in your life?
I have to thank two people by the name of Bob and Nancy Jewell. They happen to be the parents of my best friend from high school. And honestly, if it weren't for them, I do not know where I would be today, truly. The reason for that is I was an only child. And I had a mother who became an alcoholic when I was maybe 8 or 10 years old. And the next few years were pretty terrible as far as living at home. And my father kind of disappeared on us. And I happened to meet, I had transferred high schools. In fact, I had enrolled myself in a high school. I just went down and said, I am going to go to this new school in this new town.
How old were you then?
I was 16. Yeah, my folks had rented a beach house, which was 3 hours from where we normally lived. And my dad kind of sent my mother down there to hopefully get better. And I had to go down and take care of her. But I was missing a lot of school back at my regular high school. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to enroll myself in this school here, go to school here. So yeah, talk about being fearless. I guess I have been for a long time. I just went to a new school and enrolled myself. Well, that first day that I was in the counselor's office trying to get signed up for school, there was another new girl there at school, and it was the middle of the school year. It was February. I met her and we became really good friends. And so I went over to her house after school, and I just loved her family. There were four kids in the family, and they would have me to dinner. And I really just started kind of living over at their house. And one day her dad came home from work, and he looks at his wife and he says, "When did we acquire a fifth child?" I don't remember this, but shortly thereafter, my mother passed away and my dad had just kind of gone, who knew where he was. And so I just moved into their house, and yeah, they just kind of took me in. That was out in California, and that was many, many, many years ago. Believe it or not, they now live here. They live on Amelia Island and in Florida, and we came here a few years back, and just, I wouldn't say by coincidence, but not specifically to be here near them, but I'm just so blessed that they turned my, I really don't know what would have happened to me at that point. You know, teenagers can be very impressionable, and if you get in with the wrong crowd, the wrong things can happen, and they were just so amazing and really turned, I think they saw who I really was and just helped me grow and continue to develop into a good person, and I give them so much credit for that, so I thank them very, very much.
Do you remember anything in particular that they taught you that sticks with you?
Well, I think
besides just being compassionate and generous.
Yeah, well, it's truly paying it forward. I remember one time, it was probably 15 years before I was even able to admit to anyone that my mother was an alcoholic. I never told them why I didn't go home. I never told them what was going on. They never asked. They just took me in. And when I finally told them, I was in my 30s, and I said, I honestly don't know how I can ever repay you for this because you've given me so much. And they said, it's not about repaying us. It's about paying it forward. And if you ever see anyone who's in need and that you can do something to make their life better, even if it's just saying hello, you do that. And then that will, you paying it forward is all the payback we want.
Wow. You've had some remarkable people in your life.
I have.
Thanks for sharing that, Deb. I really thank you. Okay, everyone, before we continue today's episode, I just want to remind you of my new book, Roll Up Your Sleeves. The book is on how to lead and live in a world of constant change. Roll Up Your Sleeves has a biblically based storyline that shows you how to get through your transition wilderness to your promised land. Order the book today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. For more information, go to the book's website. The links are attached on the show notes. Okay, now back to the show. So tell us about that other person in your business world that impacted you significantly.
Yeah, so the other person that I would love to honor is a woman by the name of Terry Goldfarb. And a few years back, she was Terry Goldfarb Lee, so depending on when you knew her. She was Senior Director of Business Development for a company that spun off of Deloitte, you know, one of the big four accounting and services firms, called Resources Global Professionals. And so her job was to go out and do business development with other companies, and Resources Global was a staffing company, and so they would provide staffing for services organizations. I came to know her as I was ending my career in corporate America. I worked in Fortune 500 company, but mostly larger Fortune 150 companies most of my career in high tech. And after almost 30 years, I decided, okay, I had enough climbing the ladder. And there were so few women at the top of major organizations that I thought, it's my time now to go pay it forward a little bit and figure out how to help accelerate advancement for women into senior leadership. So I left the organization I was working for and thought I would take 6, 9, 12 months off to kind of regroup and just see what's out there, what's the lay of the land, and figure out what could I do, how could I create an organization focused on that, accelerating advancement for women. And so I started attending networking events at around the county in which we lived. And some of them were technology events. Some of them were networking events that headhunters had, where there were executives who were out of work and looking to meet other executives and get placed. Now, I wasn't looking for placement. I was just looking to meet people and just try to get some juices flowing in my mind to come up with an idea for how will I establish a company and how will I do this. But it was during that time that I went to a networking event that was put on by Resources Global, and Terry happened to be there and was one of the speakers. I went up to her and I was chatting with her, and I said, maybe she started the conversation saying, you know, it's so sad that here we have all these executives who are, I mean, they're vice presidents, executive vice presidents. There's some entrepreneurs who had their own companies and, you know, maybe they were ousted when some venture capitalist bought their company and now they're looking to do something else and they're trying to meet other people. But she said, just look around this room. How many people are standing by themselves, or they're standing with the person they came with and they're not meeting anyone else? And I said, yeah, people are just really, even when you think these are really outgoing people, when you get them in a place where they don't know anyone, it's intimidating to a lot of people to go into a room of people you don't know. And she said, you know how I got over that? Because she said, I used to be that way too. And you'd never know she was that way. And I said, no, tell me how you got over that. And she said, well, I decided to walk into a meeting and just pretend it's my party. It's my party. And let's pretend I have staff and they've invited all the most fascinating people in town to come to this party. And these fascinating people have been invited to come and meet me, but they don't know who I am yet because I'm incognito. I've just come into the room, but they're here to meet me. So she said, when I come in, I tell myself, this is my party, and how am I going to make them comfortable and happy that they're here? So that's what I tell myself. And then I just walk up to the first person I see who is standing by themselves, and I reach out my hand and I shake their hand and I say, I have been, just kind of like Fran Sirico did in my last story, I have been dying to meet you. I'm Terry Goldfarb. Tell me your name and what brought you here today. And as soon as you say that to somebody, they are so happy that you have now asked them a question that they can answer. And she said, and, you know, and some of them will go on and just start talking at that point. And if they don't, then find something about them, whether it's their, the tie they have on or the shoes they're wearing or the color of their eyes, whatever it is, say something about them that you see that you admire. And, you know, where did they get that or whatever. So it's all about just owning the party and thinking about making everybody else comfortable. Yeah. And then you're comfortable too.
Sure. And I know everybody on the, all our listeners were all going, we're those guys standing by themselves or with somebody we think, well, we say you'll, in meetings, I'll say people sit by folks they don't like before they'll sit by someone they don't know. What a great help. That's such a practical help as well. So you basically turned your attention to them as the focus and try to make them feel comfortable, and you in turn felt that way. So.
Well, absolutely. And especially if you can convince yourself that these people are there to meet you and that it's your obligation, really. If they're there to meet you, it's your obligation to greet them and make them feel comfortable.
Right. When you go to a party, assume it's your party. I guess that's your advice.
Exactly. It's your party.
And now, how does that play into how you do your work now in your life? How has that impacted you besides at the parties?
Oh my goodness. You know what? That little thing taught me to be so comfortable, and not only comfortable, but I relish the opportunity to interview people. I love interviewing people now, and I love asking them questions. And in fact, my husband laughs because he'll say, I can't believe it. I've just introduced you to somebody that I have known for 30 years. And in 5 minutes, you have met more about that person than I have ever known in 30 years. How do you do that?
And you say, so what brought you here?
Yeah. I would just start asking questions. And so it's really easy for me. I can be anywhere. I'll be in a restaurant and I'll see somebody who's, you know, children are well-behaved or whatever. And I'll go up and I'll say, gosh, your kids are so well-behaved. Congratulations. You know, you're doing a great job raising your kids. Well, wow, now they want to talk to you. But it's easy for me now to walk up to people and just start asking them questions. And I have more friends now with all kinds of people all over the country and the world that I never dreamed I would have, all because of Terry teaching me that. It's your party.
It's your party. And your adopted parents taught you to pay it forward. It kind of sounds like those go hand in hand for you.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
Well, Deb, thanks so much for that great story about Terry and what she taught you and your adopted family and what they did for you. We're going to wrap it up here. If these folks would like to get in touch with you, would you tell us how?
Absolutely. I have I have two websites. There's my business website and two ways to get to that. You can just key in my name, Deb Boelkes, so D-E-B, my last name Boelkes, BOELKES.com, and that will take you to my business website. My business is called Business World Rising. So you can also look it up on Business World Rising and you can see the services that I have. I am an author. I am a public speaker. And I also produce symposiums for leadership. So, and then the other website that I have is around my second book, which is Heartfelt Leadership. So heartfeltleadership.com, and you'll see me on both of those sites.
Great. And we'll have all that information in the show notes. So Deb, thanks so much for being with us. Keep having your fun on your island, and the best of everything for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Michael.
Thanks, Deb.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.